The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, also known as pneumatology. We are Roman numeral 4, page 3 of our notes. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that you've dealt with any personal sin in life through the rebound technique, and otherwise predisposed, given evidence regard to being in fellowship with God by giving me your undivided attention once again this evening, and the focus in regard to the study at hand. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with the normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that God, the Holy Spirit, will once again enlighten us to the truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are dealing here in this section of the doctrine with the Holy Spirit's role as it appears in the Old Testament, which takes us up through the first advent, the parenthetical stop, if you will, that occurs at the day of Pentecost, the age of Israel, introducing the church age. There is similarity in regards to his role in his relationship with men. That's subpoint B, Roman numeral 4 of our notes. As we've noted, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, dominant role is revealer of God's plan, communicator of God's plan. This be through spiritual gifts, inspiration, interpretation, etc. in that regards. His communicative role is constant throughout the dispensations, whether it's at the time of Adam and Eve in the age of Gentiles, or as it is in regards to the church age. God the Holy Spirit is instrumental, and the author, if you will, the force, the platform by which all truth is disseminated and assimilated in regards to God's Word. However, his ministry, as it may interact in regards to believers and others, is different slightly in regards to the Old Testament and New Testament dispensations. That's point two. However, the Holy Spirit's interaction, ministry to people in the Old Testament was clearly not the same as today, living in the church age. Today, as we know, God the Holy Spirit, upon the point of saving faith, immediately indwells and fills the believer. This has not always been the case in his interactive role in regards to the saints, as it is with respect to Old Testament saints in this regard. So point three, Christ himself taught a differentiation in the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers as abiding with or alongside, parameno in the Greek, those as part of the age of Israel, that dispensation taking this up through the first advent, to that the his ministry in that regard will change to, will be in a future indicative, a future certainty, in aime in the Greek, as he brought out in John 14:17. So for the change from his abiding role, if you will, to indwelling, abiding at your side, if you will, or as it might be upon, denoting a difference of location sometimes in the language. that was initiated, that change to indwelling, where he indwells in the very body of the believer, every cell of your body, was initiated on the day of Pentecost, beginning the church age dispensation, as we saw recorded in Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is made possible in part because the reality of Christ's victory and work on the cross legally and spiritually had been accomplished. And by indication, when the reality came, it opened certain avenues and roles of individuals as it pertained in the experiential mode of believers during the dispensation to a slight change. Another change that occurred based on the reality that had come was that all Old Testament believers, their souls up to that point in time of Christ descending into Sheol to proclaim victory after his work on the cross, he took captives. All souls of Old Testament saints went to Sheol, a compartment called Sheol Paradise. The Sheol is the complete compartment. It's divided into two parts, Paradise and Hades, or Hell. And all believers' souls went to Sheol Paradise in this regards. And after Christ's victory and work on the cross, they were removed, and now all souls go to directly to the third heaven in the throne room in presence of God himself, and obviously Jesus Christ in that respect. So some changes have occurred, as they do over time in history, just as the revelation of doctrine denotes more insight in regard to God's plan as it may participate in change in administrations, other changes. One of those changes in God, the Holy Spirit's ministries towards believers is that rather than simply being alongside or with, he now takes up our body as his temple of presence, as his temple of residence, abiding in us or being in us in regards to dwelling in us in regards to our position in Jesus Christ in that vein. So, five, however, this does not mean that those living in Old Testament times were at any disadvantage in fulfilling God's plan via the three adjustments, salvation, rebound, and maturity adjustment. We looked at all the examples given there. Again, we addressed the confusion that's among interpreters, theologians, in regards to Paul's language and James' language, using the same terms that look to salvation, if you will, such as justification, that Paul says that Abraham was justified by faith apart from works. James says it is faith plus works. So everybody gets in a tizzy. Oh, look, there's no harmony in the New Testament. They're in contradiction. No, they're not. One is dealing with saving faith. That is, the ticket gets you into heaven. And the other is dealing with experiential faith, active faith in respect to the truth of Bible doctrine and growing up spiritually under the rebound and maturity adjustment, which demands works in that capacity. So, with the correct harmonization and understanding, the apparent discrepancy is resolved. So, six, this is where formerly we left off. The nature, now we look at the nature at this point of his works towards those in the Old Testament included here. A, he assumed a posture of judgment or conviction under the principle of grace towards all of humanity, as seen in Genesis 6:3, remember back when we went through that, as God said the Spirit would not strive with man forever in their condition, the angelic or the demonic infiltration scenario of planet Earth. Then the Lord said, my Spirit, obviously defers to God the Holy Spirit, shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days will be 120 years. Again, this centers around the demonic infiltration of the human race, the first major satanic attack apart from the garden, coming upon the history of mankind. The intention here, as certain of the angels who rebelled with Satan, a certain number of them went on if you will, almost a suicide mission. They left their domain as angelic beings, and they tried to engage in interspecies sexual relationships, which they did, and they were successful, and they created a half-breed human angelic beings, the mighty men of renown of old. There is a kernel of truth to this in this regards. From our study, their favorite humans to pick in order to reproduce in this regards were the Nephilim, or the giant people that were fairly large in stature, and women to create really great mighty men in that respect. But anyway, the attack was to try to wipe out the human race, and hence void the salvation adjustment which Jesus Christ came for one purpose, that's to save humanity in this respect. So that's all that. These particular demons violated, if you will, the rules of engagement in the angelic conflict severely. They were confiscated, if you will, and confined by God into another special compartment in Sheol, Hades, known as Tartarus. And they have been there, and they are there to this very day. And that they, because they, angels are supposed to be celibate, they are not to, they're all males, they are not to engage in sexual activity in this regards. And their penalty, they're out of bounds and put in the penalty box in Tartarus. And they're going to be released for a short amount of time during the period of tribulation. You don't want to be on this planet when that happens. Thank God we won't be. But anyway, God says he will not strive with men. Obviously, grace precedes judgment. But grace is not bottomless pit. It is grace ends eventually, and judgment begins where people do not avail themselves of the grace God gives them otherwise in that respect. And after 120 years, that is when the catastrophic flood occurred in regards to this planet, brought about by a stellar object probably exploding on our planet. It created fissures in the bottoms of the oceans. The majority of the water that flooded the planet came from the deeps of the oceans. It wasn't just 40 days of rain in regards to the planet. And only 8 members of the human race survived. They were all believers. That was Noah and his family, his sons and their wives. And as soon as the flood was over, he grew some grapes in the vineyard and got drunk. Put that in your legalistic pipe and smoke it. That's the story, that's the true story of Noah and the flood. Other BS you see on TV, Hollywood, just taking these things and just wrenching them completely out of context. They have no, they are not in touch with reality whatsoever. But anyway. So we have the Holy Spirit seen as striving with men here. The New American Standard verb strive is dien, D-I-Y-N, in the Hebrew. And in the Cal form, it means to act as a judge, minister judgment, plead the cause. This, if you will, would parallel in somewhat synonymous to his convicting ministry. Striving with men, and he pleads his cause when the truth is otherwise proclaimed. Noah and the other believers that were around at that time, Enoch, etc., they obviously gave witness. So we see that aspect of his ministry involved in human race. B, he is seen to be in the Hebrew is just one letter. Bait, B, the B letter there. Some believers, it's not indwelling in this regards. Just it indicates a supernatural role of giving insight. Examples there Genesis 41:38, where we just was at. In regards to Joseph, his ability to interpret dreams, totally and completely accurate, prophetic in nature. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a spirit of God, literally? In whom?" Let's see. Numbers 27:18. Yahweh said to Moses, verse 18, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, in whom, again, is the Spirit." Daniel 4:8. Finally, Daniel came in before me. Nebuchadnezzar speaking, whose name is Belshazzar in the Babylonian language. He was given a new name. According to the name of my God, and in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And I related the dream to him. Again, another reflection upon the Holy Spirit interpreting dreams. Daniel 5:11-14. Here, this is during Belshazzar's reign. Supernatural writing occurred on the wall. They couldn't understand what it was. That's the background to the context here. And the queen enters in, gives insight to someone who can possibly help out Belshazzar, king after Nebuchadnezzar. "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods," verse 11. "In the days of your father," Nebuchadnezzar was his father, "illumination, insight, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners." Another person who was put within the highest circles in regards to the emperor of the land at the time. A believer that otherwise was a slave. Another slave. A POW, in fact. This was the cause of the extraordinary spirit, verse 12. Knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, mysteries. Solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, verse 13, "Are you that Daniel who is the one of the exiles from Judah whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I've heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you." And I note here, the verses don't say the spirit of God is abiding in him, just simply in. We would equate that to being in fellowship. He came upon some believers. Our English phrase "came upon" is simply the preposition "all," A-L. Some believers indicating a role of empowering. to empower part of his ministry. Numbers 24:2. Balaam, before he went spiritually berserk, he was a prophet, lifted up his eyes and saw Israel camped tribe by tribe, and the Spirit of God came upon him. In regards to the prophecy that follows, Judges 3:10. Israel in time of military need, God intervened on their behalf, this being Caleb's younger brother. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, Othniel, the one in Israel, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel during the time of Judges. When he went out to the war, the Lord gave Cushan Risha, Lion king of Mesopotamia, into his hands so that he could build over Cushan Rishathaim. To empower. Judges 6:34. Here on Gideon. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abizarites that were called together to follow him. So military positions, God blessing the military through positive volition. Judges 11, 25, 26, and 29. Now, are you better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Or verse 26, excuse me. No, 25, that's fine. Did he ever strive with Israel? Or did he ever fight against them? While Israel lived in Heshbon, verse 26, in his villages, in Aor, in his villages, in his all cities, there on the banks of the, and on 300 years, why did you not recover them with that time? And then verse 29. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, so that he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, that he passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he went on to the sons of Ammon. 13:25. Samson took the Nazarite vow. There another area of confusion among believers, why some saints had long hair, John the Baptist being one. These individuals particularly took what was called the Nazarite vow. It was a vow of witness in representation, usually in judgment against Israel for their reversionism. Long hair on a male represents rebellion. So if you're male, the least you can do is look like you're a Christian. Look like you're adjusted. Don't wear long hair. Yeah. They also refrain from drinking any type of alcoholic beverage, wine. But Samson took the Nazarite vow. He was committed, if you will, through prayer, etc., as the story goes. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir on the woman gave birth, verse 24 first, to a son and named him Samson. The child grew up, the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Uh, Samson's weakness, STA weakness was women. But anyway, we won't get into all that. 14:6. The spirit of Samson went down to Timnah, verse 5, with his father and mother, and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. 6, and the spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father and mother what he had done. Put Tarzan to shame. He didn't have to use a knife to stab him to death. Just ripped his limbs apart. That's the guy you don't want to meet in the back alley. I'm here to tell you. All these people that think they're so tough anymore. And you put God behind it, look out. Verse 19, Lord came upon him again mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them. He was often involved in defense of Israel, warring against Philistines, one of his favorite parties. He killed 30 of them, took their spoil, gave a change of clothes to those who told the riddle, and his anger burned, and went up to his father's house. Fifteen, fourteen. Captured temporarily by the Philistines. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines, verse 14, shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. Understand, it wasn't just at his whim that his strength was possessed. It was at the hand of God. When he would be in fellowship and God was there for him to exercise his strength in whatever role it might be. That was 15:14. 1 Samuel 10:10. Moving on here to Samuel. All these given examples of the Holy Spirit upon a believer. Samuel came to the hill there. Behold, verse 10, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. Compared him with prophetic information. 16:13, 1 Samuel. Here, as he anoints David, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. From that day forward, 2 Chronicles 15:1. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Obed. Gives courage, gives insight to proclaim the truth, etc. New Testament example, Luke 2:25 through 26. Here in the Synoptics during the first Advent, which is inclusive of the time period we're dealing with. One named Simeon, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. Not everybody at the first advent was messed up spiritually. There were those that were adjusted, but they were few and far between, generally speaking. Looking for the consolation of Israel. It sounds like he might have had a hint in regards to at the time of his appearing, doesn't it? Looking for the consolation of Israel. God reveals to those his plan is needed. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Obviously a desire by him. We can assume probably safely that it was part of his prayer life. Let me see Messiah. Just like probably many of us, let us see the rapture before we die. Anyway. Verse 27, he came in the spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of law. He took him in his arms and blessed God. Verse 28, and said, now, Lord, you do let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. Of your people Israel. So, again, it's in the Spirit. Then you had the specific verbiage to note the filling of the Holy Spirit, where it's implied in other cases as we've been looking at to a certain degree. D, he filled, which is your Hebrew verb, male. He filled some believers, providing superior insight for function or duty, usually associated with their ministry as a priest or something of that nature. Exodus 31:3. God blessed certain men in building the tabernacle, the furniture and utensils and things of that nature. Here, 1 Bezalel, verse 2, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship. So God blessing in a more general academic way. It pays when you're in school to pray about taking tests, to pray about your subjects, things of that nature. You sit there and want to just depend upon your own brain power. Well, you can do that, but you can also appeal to God to bless your thinking in that respect. To make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze. And if God's blessing you, it's amazing how smooth some things go and how impressive it turns out to be. Exodus 35:31. Here again, Bezalel, he has Moses speaking to Israel, 31, he has filled them with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all craftsmanship. Deuteronomy 34:9. Joshua, who took over the role of pastor of the Exodus, now the conquest, if you will. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. Again, the spirit of truth, spirit of wisdom. God's always, the Holy Spirit's associated with the truth. For Moses had laid his hands on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Micah 3:8, laying of hands denotes a transfer of power, generally speaking. authorizing or empowering someone. Micah 3:8. Micah speaking, on the other hand, I am filled with a power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. You don't have to always drink you some guts. You can get in fellowship and try it. See if you can get some courage that way when you've got a witness in an unpleasant, undesirable situation. Also confer Exodus 28:3. For the garments of the priest, again, and you will speak to all the skillful persons. Instructions given to Moses, whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom. I've endowed with the spirit of wisdom. That they may make Aaron's garments and consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me. Luke 1:41-67, again, New Testament, the first advent. Citations here. John the Baptist's parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they were both, Mary and Elizabeth, both pregnant at the same time. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins, if you didn't know, earthly cousins. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, people can take that and they can run with it in mysticism. See the fetus, the baby's not born, so it's still just a fetus. It has a soul and all these other things. Now, obviously, God can cause things to happen. Elizabeth took it as an indication from God. You know, and she relates her pregnancy to the pregnancy of Mary. Anyway, I won't get into all that. Figure it out for yourself. Then verse 67, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he started prophesying, saying, regards to John the Baptist. All right, so while the Spirit could stir up and empower, he could also leave upon divine discretion. One thing you can always take to the bank, God, the Holy Spirit always indwells you as a believer living in this dispensation. So his presence in that sense is never removed. Judges 13:25. There again, Samson, then you compare that to the Spirit of the Lord begins to stir. Stir him, and then compare 16:20. After his affair with Delilah, and it's amazing God graced him out for his indiscretions, his phallic indiscretions, generally speaking. But when he gave in and told him about his hair and breaking the vow and getting a cut, then God jammed him big time. And she, so Delilah convinces him, as the story goes, to relate to him his secret of his strength, which is actually from God, but either way. And while he's sleeping, she cuts off his hair. And she wakes him up. And starts playing with him, if you will, in that regards. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he woke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Uh-oh. That's not a good thing. 1 Samuel 10:10. So you see that occasion. So obviously there is a deeper spiritual lessons to be learned from all this. It's not just the physical things that occur. Hopefully we've seen that enough in our studies in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament to realize that. 1 Samuel 10:10, as we saw there, the Samuel, the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. Compare that to 16:14. David was anointed. When he anointed David, in that regard, then Saul, who was king at the time, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Psalm 51:11. It didn't possess Saul. It simply terrorized him. Saul went into reversionism. His reversionism induced emotional and psychological trauma in his life and created a schism of personality. Psalm 51:11. Psalm of David, his prayer, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." So he recognized the doctrine that, yeah, you can go into reversionism and lose the benefit and blessing of the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, operating accordingly in your life in that respect. F, the Spirit ministered to the nation Israel by being present and guiding them. Nehemiah 9:20. Nehemiah records, "And you did give your good spirit to instruct them, Israel. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you did not give, and you did give them water for their thirst." That 40 years of the Exodus. Isaiah 63:11-14. "And his people remember the days of old of Moses. Where is he who brought them out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them?" In verse 14, "As the cattle which go down to the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So did you lead your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Again, the Exodus being an example. That ye, he, this Holy Spirit, could be grieved based on negative volition. Isaiah 63:10, same context, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. That's the Exodus. Same kind of language you see in the New Testament for believers in this dispensation being out of fellowship. Disobedient to God. It's language of accommodation. He had an abiding role with Israel in belief. That's Haggai 2:5. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear, Israel, the nation. He was present, end quote, with, end quote, believers, as recognized by Christ. John 14:17 is with you. He will be in you, that passage. J, he was given by the Father to those who asked. Luke 11:13. Denoting the compassion and love of God. He's not capricious, mean-spirited. Obviously, his righteousness judges evil, and you have the recompense in that regard. But he is a loving father as a parent to a child. If you ask for an egg, verse 12, he will not give him the scorpion, will he, in regards to a normal parent. If you then, being evil, verse 13, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So obviously, rebound works just like rebound does today in regards to the believer. But you could ask for God the Holy Spirit to empower or give you insight and wisdom in addition to the fact that, as we would say, being in fellowship otherwise. So the particulars, mechanics, how that all worked out, I haven't figured all that out, obviously. We don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's permanent. He was the agent of regeneration as seen with Nicodemus in John 3:1 and following. Just as he is the agent of regeneration of our human spirit, so he was with Old Testament saints. So that is a parallel. John 3:1 and following. As he's saying to Nicodemus, speaking to him on his terms in the age of Israel, truly, truly, verse 5, I say to you, that one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So, to highlight that, we've looked at that not too far back. More inclusively, his baptism ministry of union with Christ was illustrated in the theophany of the cloud and sea during the Exodus. So what this point is saying is that he baptized the believer into union with Jesus Christ, Old Testament saints, just like he does New Testament saints. and that is pictured in regards to the Exodus in 1 Corinthians 10:2. Which this is symbolic. Moses here is a type of Jesus Christ in the language, as Paul speaks to these church age believers at Corinth. For I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. In other words, there is certain doctrine that is consistent with Old Testament as well as New Testament saints. And all were baptized into Moses, who is a type of Christ, in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud and the sea is representative of God the Holy Spirit. All ate the same spiritual food, that was manna, that's symbolic of Bible doctrine. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Water representing the eternal life that's associated with their salvation, just like it is with the New Testament believer. So seven, now some interpreters falsely assume that the Holy Spirit's convicting and baptism roles, which is a dry baptism, are unique to the church age based on the use of future references of his, quote, coming, end quote, such as in John 15:26 and 16:8 and 13, against such statements as John 7:39 and Acts 1:5. So John 15:26, when the Helper comes, a coming there. That's God the Holy Spirit, as we know from the language, whom I will send to you from the Father, Spirit of Truth. And then 16, 8, and 13, same kind of language. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, see, then you compare that to John 7:39. When he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive in the indwelling ministry for the new dispensation. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. In Acts 1:5, you've got to harmonize this. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, interpreters look at these verses. They think the future references of coming, in, as stated, the Helper coming in John 15 and 16, versus John 7:39 and Acts 1:5, if they're not coming, they falsely assume his convicting baptism roles were omitted in the Old Testament. No, they were not. That's point eight. However, the Holy Spirit's coming, in quotes, is specific to his new role in an indwelling capacity. That's, you have to understand the verses in the context of which it's intended. And that's the coming of John 15, etc., the Helper of his indwelling capacity of the new dispensation, John 14, 17. And it's not stating that all his ministries otherwise are new, point eight, in origin, any more than his, quote, coming, end quote, meant a previous absence from believers. He's already stated in these in verses otherwise that the Holy Spirit was with believers in John. So, point that out as an apologetic for those who might otherwise hold the erroneous view. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.